From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. There are places in the world where people tend to live longer, where you'll find more people over 100 years old, and 80 and 90-year-olds as healthy as those 10 to 20 years younger. These places are called Blue Zones, and Southwest Florida is taking steps to become one. We'll hear how the local Blue Zones project hopes to achieve this, and we'll talk to one company that's incorporating healthy lifestyle choices into its workplace. Plus, a local farmer is working to bring a humane meat processing facility to our area. It'll be the only one of its kind in the state. We'll hear from the owner of Circle C Farms in Felda and Bonita Springs about the project and find out how small-scale farmers currently deal with the lack of facilities in our part of the state. Plus, we'll hear from a local teaching chef about the benefits of locally sourced ingredients and how you can incorporate them into your life this season. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. When a farmer has to haul livestock hundreds of miles to have it processed humanely, the costs add up and the toll on the animal shows in the end product. We'll talk with a local farmer working to bring those facilities closer a little later in the show. But first, Blue Zones. If you haven't heard of it yet, it's a movement that sprouted from a study done in 2004 when a group of French and Italian scholars looked at demographics and they found that a small town in Sardinia, which is an island off of Italy's west coast, was home to an unusually high number of people over 100 years old. Of course, this prompted more investigations into other pockets of longevity, and by 2009, a book was written by Dan Buettner identifying five places around the world with more centenarians, or people over 100, than anywhere else. Now, communities are hoping to incorporate some of these characteristics of the communities that he identified in the hopes of increasing longevity. Here in Southwest Florida, we have the Blue Zones Project. Executive Director Deb Logan is here in the studio with us today. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Also in the studio today, we're joined with Patty Luppy of Finemark Bank, which is a Blue Zone approved workplace. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about living longer, healthier lives by modeling behaviors after Blue Zones. Do you have a question or a comment? You can share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. Deb Logan with the Blue Zones Project. Tell me a little about how this project got started and what are the goals?
Okay, very good. Dr. Weiss and NCH Healthcare System, which is the sponsor of this project, meaning that the project is completely free to everyone in the community, they started looking at ways that they could share with the community, basically get out of the repair business and more into the well-being business, understanding where healthcare is moving in the future. And also, they had their own model to rely on where they were able to lower healthcare costs with their own employees. Over 6,000 insured lives, they were able to decrease the healthcare costs from $16 million a year down to six for several years in a row. And with those kind of results, they thought, well, you know, how could we help the community do a similar type, accomplish a similar goal? And so Dr. Weiss started researching what's a health model that we could really impact population health, and found the Blue Zones Project, and then talked to his board about funding it for the entire community.
And there are five communities that were identified as pinnacles of Blue Zone. What are some of the characteristics that would want to be recreated here?
Right. Dan Buettner in his research found that there were nine commonalities of people who live longer, better. And some of those things are moving naturally. It's not about joining a gym or going on a diet. It's more about incorporating things into our lives, things that we've almost forgotten as industrialization has occurred and we rely more on the automobile and just changes in our culture over time. So moving naturally, plant slant, getting more plant in our diet. There's a wine at five, which many people like, but we do say, you know, cautious with that. But a little bit of wine with friends, if you have a responsible relationship with alcohol, is really about the socialization plus, you know, the nutrition, the resveratrol in the wine. We also know that putting family first is very important for well-being, and people who participate in a faith-based organization may also live longer, better. So there's these nine commonalities that are very important to help people live longer, better.
It seems like there's a lot of the social aspect. That is a big part of it in every one of the communities that he studied.
Absolutely.
And that was having a strong social network, not only with family but also with friends, and then crossing different age groups too.
Absolutely. What we've learned in the longevity research is that well-being is very dependent on being socially connected. Framingham research has found that isolation kills, that you can shave 7 years off of your life if you are lonely, and or look at the opposite. We can add 7 years onto our life if we're socially connected. So we know that many people move to Southwest Florida and have to make new friends, or maybe they're here and they lose their spouse, or their children go off to school and they fly the coop, if you will. And so what the project tries to do is get people connected through walking groups, potlucks, through purpose workshops. That's another critical part of our well-being. Do I have a reason to wake up in the morning? And they say if you have a reason, you wake up more mornings.
One of the aspects of the local initiative is to recognize businesses that promote these lifestyle objectives. And one of the last places you might think of is a bank. But Finemark Bank is a Blue Zone approved workplace, and Patty Leppy's here to tell me about how that came to be.
Well, part of Finemark's vision is to make a positive impact on the individuals, families, and communities that we serve. So the Blue Zones project was a natural fit for us. It's really aligned with our culture and what we strive to work for every day in our business, to make a positive impact on our associates and our clients. So our main goal was to improve the health and the well-being of our associates, and then also to get involved with this project to lead by example and really to inspire other businesses in the area to kind of follow our lead. So we kind of wanted to really get in at the ground level and in the beginning of this project so that we could make an impact and inspire others.
So what kind of things have you done? What kind of changes have been made? Or, I mean, are these subtle changes or are they overarching?
No, you know, I think at first when we saw the approval process, it looked like it was going to be a daunting task, but it really wasn't. As we went through it, Finemark already had so many of the policies and the items in place for us. And we really learned a lot. We learned a lot about our company, too, by doing this. Policies that we didn't even know existed that were there for us. So we gathered a team together, and I was so inspired when we first gathered our team, because 18 out of our 22 staff members showed up for our first Blue Zones team meeting, and not even really knowing what it was about. And the only others that didn't show up was because they were tellers and working on the banking line.
They were unable to.
They were unable to join us. So, and then, you know, the pledge, we had almost 100% of people sign the pledge. But it was about little changes. And I think at first people thought that it was going to be big changes. Oh, I'm going to have to sign this pledge and join a gym, or I'm going to have to change my whole eating process. But that's not what it was about. So an example for us is we have a chef on staff at Finemark, and she makes wonderful homemade cookies that are her grandmother's recipe, and they're every day out in our lobby for our guests and clients to take. And so we thought, okay, we can't possibly get Blue Zones approved because we cannot take away these cookies from these
yeah,
people.
Nobody's taking my cookies.
They love it. But what we found out was all we had to do was incorporate something healthy as well. So we added a little small packet of nuts. Right next to the cookies, there are little packets for people to take, and they can come in and make a choice. So they either choose the nuts, which many of them just take a couple and put them in their handbags, you know, as they're leaving, or they can take the cookie, but it's available for them if they want it. And
so instead of a punishing environment where you can't have anything that you previously loved, it's offering different options for people.
Offering better options, different options, and it just is it's wonderful.
Yeah. Have you seen people change and drift more towards the healthy options?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Even in our day-to-day office, our healthy, you know, we put out healthy snacks for our employees, as opposed to what we were having before, which was just going to make them fall asleep in the afternoon, Cheez-Its or whatever. Now there's fruit and nuts out there for them, and everyone's happier for it. And, you know, everyone is making the better choices. We're having standing meetings So we have a staff meeting every other day, and we stand for those, and it's fantastic.
Living longer, healthier, and happier lives is what we're talking about today, and it's part of the Blue Zone Lifestyle, which is a project going on in Naples. Did you know about it? Call in and tell us your secrets to being active and healthy at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Facebook at WGCU Public Media or Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Well, one of the biggest challenges that I would think would be our dependence on cars. And you just can't walk to the market around here. Well, not it's very difficult to walk to the market anywhere around here. So how are the ways that how are you trying to encourage people in the Southwest Florida area to move more and to have it actually be part of life instead of a dreaded trip to the gym?
Great. As you said, we are very auto-centric in the whole state of Florida, let alone Southwest Florida. And so the project, one of the greatest successes with the project is that we work with people, places, and policy. We know policy moves well-being faster than anything else. And so we work with community leaders. We're working with the city of Naples, city of Bonita. We also are in Estero and greater Naples. And we're working with community leaders to help make walking and biking safer. In the city of Naples, for example, when they were doing a stormwater project on Central Avenue, they decided to add Blue Zones-inspired principles to make it more walkable, bikeable. So now when you drive your car, ride your bike, or walk along that area, you feel a lot safer. The bike lanes are separated out enough that you feel safe. There's roundabouts now, and we know that roundabouts, there's a 90% decreased crash rate at a roundabout versus at a four-way stop. So it's getting community leaders to see the value, and then as they work on projects or road projects, incorporating some of these principles that will help make walking and biking safer.
Well, we have a call coming in right now from Lori, who is in Naples. Lori, what would you like to say?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm actually a Blue Zone ambassador for one of the schools here in Collier County, and I just want to tell you it was such a success. Not only did it allow our children to kind of take notice of what they're eating and what they're doing, we actually were able to put water fountains in the school so kids could fill their water bottles. We also participated in some family runs. So we not only included the children, but we also included the families. So it really kind of brought Blue Zone into our community in such a positive way.
That is great. That's a really nice report. And then she said Blue Zone ambassador. What is that?
That's a champion, really, for the project. What it means, it's what Patty is for Fine Mark Bank. It's people who have taken an interest in the project and say, you know, how can I make a difference? And so they go back to their school, their work site, their homeowners association, faith-based organization, work site, and they decide to help lead the project within their organization. So they work with us directly to implement best practices to make the healthy choice the easy choice.
How do people do that? They call you up or check your website and get themselves trained?
Absolutely. What they can do is go to the website or call us and come to the next ambassador training where they'll learn more about the project and then again, how can they implement these best practices.
And she brought up schools. I read something about a walking school bus project. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. One of the things we know that has occurred over time, one of these cultural changes that has not been in favor in the best interest for our kids is that very few kids have the opportunity to walk to school anymore or to a school bus. And my generation, about 60% of us did, now less than 10%.
I walked to school too, but I would not probably let my daughter walk to school at this
right.
point, even if we lived pretty close.
Yes,
it's just
so
kind of scary.
It's a cultural change and a perception of safety, all kinds of things, and we understand that. But what's happened is we've engineered approximately 3 miles of natural activity out of a child's life by this cultural change that has occurred. So they weren't having to go to a gym. They didn't have to work out. They just walked to school and back, you know. So what we've done in the project is offer Blue Zones walking school bus. And that means that we get volunteers, and it's often people who are retired who have – they get vetted through the school system for safety. But people who don't have kids in their lives because they're up north or somewhere else and they'd like to have a dose of grandchildren or children for a day, and they walk or chaperone the kids maybe from the homes to the school bus stop or from the bus to school. So sometimes the school will stop short of the school, a safe route that has been mapped out, and the chaperones get off with the kids and everybody gets a nice walk.
That incorporates also that whole socialization too, the age gap thing, having a purpose to get up and get out of bed and go do something.
Absolutely.
Kind of hits us like a trifecta there.
Absolutely. It's great for everyone. There's something called grandparent effect. And when people have the influence of their grandparents or someone who's steps in for a grandparent, that the kids actually thrive. They do better academically. They're healthier. And so are the grandparents. So it's a win-win.
Well, touching on that idea of social interaction, there's a lot about family interaction, but here in South Florida, we have a lot of people that have moved here from somewhere else, leaving family behind, or families that have moved away from Florida. How do you help people deal with that? Obviously, this school bus walking thing is great, but are there other ways, other avenues?
Absolutely. The project is very big on trying to get people socially connected, and so we work closely with homeowners associations and faith-based organizations and really individuals in general who are looking to build a social network. And we encourage them to engage their members, if they're a faith-based organization or homeowners, into what we call Moais. Moai is a group that comes together for a purpose. So it could be a walking Moai. And as you mentioned, it's more about the social aspect than it is. They happen to be moving naturally, but they're walking and talking. And those Moais, after walking, may go get a coffee together. Or if it's an evening walk, maybe get a glass of wine together or have breakfast, whatever it may be. We also have potluck Moais for people who are working to incorporate more plant-based items into their diets, and purpose Moais, volunteer Moais. There's a variety of ways we can get people engaged, and it's really important for our well-being.
So, Patty Leppe with FineMark Bank, you were telling me earlier that there were people that were kind of taking this Blue Zone thing and taking it to the next level at your work, where they've kind of created their own little culture of wellness and healthy behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and they've started an activity?
Well, we have actually several people are, you know, spinning off and doing different things. So we also have a walking Moai, and so there's a group of us that will either go walking together at lunchtime or, you know, after work together, and it really encourages you and helps you to learn a lot more about your coworkers who, you know, you're spending 8 to 10 hours a day with these people, and they really are your family. So, you know, it's kind of goes to the right tribe thing and all of that as well. But we also have enlisted Chris Edwards from Tricor Wellness to come into our community room after work 2 days a week to train us on movement and mobility and just keeping us healthy. And so we probably have about 6 of us that are doing that with Chris twice a week. And he comes in and gives us seminars on eating and how to be safe at our desks and the way we sit. And so it's really terrific.
Yeah. It's amazing how sitting at a desk can impact people.
I just heard that it will be as bad as smoking. One point, just sitting sedentary, mm-hmm. they'll show up later in life as it being that bad.
So having the health ramifications of smoking.
Yeah. So Blue Zones did also help us with stand-up desks. We are now, some of the people in some of our offices were allowed to get stand-up desks and did, but now they're being offered the Vera desks to all of our employees to stand up.
What about the exercise ball chairs?
Yes, we
those
can
are also
those
good.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I'm considering an investment because I'm at a desk a lot more now than I used to be.
I thought I might fall off, though.
That's where we need the hidden cameras, right? and social laughing about falling off that exercise ball at the desk is excellent at the workplace. speaking about the diet, we have the exercise and the movement and the social stuff, but one of the other things was not smoking. That was another one of the 9 things. So smoking is definitely not great for longevity. I think we kind of all know that for the most part. But on diet, they say plant-based diet, and we just kind of don't have that in the United States. It seems like if you have dinner and there's not a piece of meat, even a small piece of meat, it feels like you didn't really eat.
Absolutely. Our culture is very heavy on protein or meat, chicken, fish. And what we find, people who live longer better, is that they use protein, chicken, fish, and beef, as a celebration more so than having it with every meal. And so really, as Americans, one of the things we can do is celebrate less often with chicken, fish, and beef. I mean, it's good for us. We need, you know, it's good to have protein in our diet of any form, but to have it less often and to get more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes into our diet, then we will mimic the diet of people who live longer better.
Have you come up with any plans to do a local cookbook type thing featuring some of these?
You know, we've thought about engaging our homeowners and faith base and work sites, the individuals that are involved in the project, and asking them to submit recipes. It's a project that's kind of in our strategic planning. Not something we're planning right away, but we've thought about it. There is one of Dan Buettner's book, The Blue Zone Solution, has recipes in it. And we've given local libraries copies of that book. He also, the bookazine that came out, that is it's a National Geographic bookazine. And it's all on the diet and the project overall. And it's got recipes, very nice recipes in there as well.
I'd be interested in the Sardinian ones.
Okay.
those would be great. Those would be speaking to me.
Yum.
And then tell me about legumes. They come up in every one of these cultures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, legumes are really good for us. They're high in fiber. They have a lot of great nutrition. And they are a common part of the places where people live longer better. So we highly recommend them. I'm a dietitian first by trade. You know, what I love about this is that you're not taking things away. You're encouraging other good, healthy food. So it's not do this, don't do that. It's more like, why not incorporate a little bit more of this? Try it out. See if you like it. Find out what works best for you. And so legumes are a good bet. And it's not a food that many Americans are used to. Years ago, yes, but more recent, not so much. So
so legumes includes beans, correct?
Mm-hmm. Beans, lentils, and peas, as well as nuts and seeds.
So snacking on nuts. There was another study recently that came out that said that a little bit of nuts, a handful of nuts, elongates your life as well.
Right.
Keeps you healthier. I want to get to the question of alcohol. It's really hard to get any doctor to get on board with increasing, you know, any kind of alcohol intake, because the downsides to too much overuse are so much greater than the potential upsides. So I did an article about it a while back, probably about a year ago. I could not get one doctor to tell me that it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there, it is showing up as a staple in the life of people in these different communities that have been identified as having more people that live longer. So what kind of the key, though, is moderate consumption. So is there a definition of this elusive moderate consumption?
There is. It's one glass of wine a day for women and two for men as a maximum, and you can't save it up and have seven, say, on a Friday night.
Which is how Americans do things.
Absolutely. It is what we do. And we do know, I worked in public health for many years, and we know that Southwest Florida does have a bit of a drinking problem. I mean, we do have some problems with it. So the key is moderation. And then you will get the benefits. If you go beyond that moderation, it's really not so healthy for us. And that's probably why physicians are on the fence to be able to come out and say, drink more, you know.
It makes sense, especially because mm-hmm. it was going to be printed and their name was going to be there right next to it. So.
Right.
But he said I could. No, that's not what he said. And it's easy to kind of interpret things and pull out the part that you like the best.
Sure.
Okay. Another aspect of Blue Zones is the spiritual or religious life. And you gave me a statistic a second ago before we got on the air. Tell me that.
Right. What they find is people who practice their faith by attending a service four times a month, and it doesn't matter what faith it is, tend to live 4 to 14 years longer. And so although we don't preach in the project that you have to attend a faith-based organization, we share that that's one of the principles of living longer better. So we encourage people to, if they have a faith-based organization, to you know, get there more often perhaps, or reconsider it if they've gotten away from it.
It seems like the entire model that you're describing to me and the way that Patty was describing it too is it's not a preaching, shoving anything in anybody's face kind of a way. It's more presenting options. This is what we've seen in these five communities. Here's what they're doing, and here are some options for you to do that here. Do you think that people are more responsive because of that mode of presenting things?
I think so. I think what happened for us, we didn't know about Blue Zones, and so when we first started researching it, it really did, like I said, look like, oh my gosh, is this something that we could do? And then all of a sudden it became, Yes, this is something we should all be doing, and it's easy. It really is about choices. And so never have we taken anything away from our associates or each other. We've just added things to it, so we have more and not less.
And in this holiday season, it seems like there aren't that many healthy choices that I've been confronted with in the past week or so. I'm telling you, I think my major food groups are fat, sugar, and salt. that's kind of this time of year,
sure,
you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say thank you guys for coming in. I really appreciate it. Can you tell me a little about any plans that you have coming up in 2017?
Absolutely. We have a lot going on. We'll be reaching out to all the sectors that we always work with. You know, again, the worksite, schools, faith-based organizations, homeowners, working with policymakers as well. But if you go to our website, people can find the purpose workshops that we have for the new year, the MOIs, so getting involved with the walking or the potluck groups, volunteering. We've got different events. We're going to have an event with the Naples Botanical Garden, where well-being in the garden on January 14th, and it's going to be a really exciting way to experience Blue Zones. And up here in Estero, we're going to be involved in the American Heart Walk and help people see what Blue Zones is about there. So lots of exciting things in the coming year.
And we'll have links on WGCUnews.org if you're interested in getting more information about Blue Zones locally or across the globe. But we're going to leave it for there. For now, thank you to our guests for talking about Blue Zones in Southwest Florida, Deb Logan with Blue Zones Project and Patty Luppy with Findmark Bank in Naples. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, a local farmer will bring a humane livestock processing operation to the area, and we'll talk about how that will impact other small-scale farmers and your dinner plate. We'll be right back.